Well, good morning. It is 8:18, and you are listening to Raven Radio. Joining me this morning is cellist Melissa Kraut, representing the Sitka Summer Music Festival. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Sitka.
Thank you.
You've been here for about 2 weeks now.
Yes. Maybe it's a little less, but close enough.
Oh, my goodness. So you got all this beautiful weather?
It's wonderful. Well, everybody says it's been beautiful. Yeah. They think it's really hot here. Not quite for us who experience 90s in the summer, but it's lovely.
And where do you experience those high temperatures?
Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland, Ohio gets four distinct seasons.
Yes. I think it's fall, winter, summer, and road repair.
Oh, very nice. And what is it like to be a cellist in Ohio?
Oh, it's great. I have a wonderful job. I teach at the Cleveland Institute of Music, which is a world-class conservatory, and I get to work with some of the top up-and-coming cellists, and I get to be surrounded by wonderful musicians in the Cleveland Orchestra, incredible chamber musicians, and a wonderful art museum, and just a really rich culture.
So it's nice to have that surrounding you, all those influences. Did you know about Sitka and our chamber festival?
I actually did because one of my students is the son of Paul Cox, who's from Sitka.
Look at that. And normally it's 6 degrees of Zool Bailey.
That's there too.
And how do you know Zool?
I met Zool 5 years ago when he was a guest artist at a music festival that I was teaching at. And we just clicked, as cellists often do, and have collaborated since then on several different projects. He's come to teach all of my students, and he invited me to come here.
It's interesting you use the term, we clicked as cellists do. Are cellists not competitive?
We don't seem to be, yeah. Cellists kind of like to bond and share ideas, and, you know, each string instrument has a different personality. And I will let the others speak to their own personalities of their instruments. But cellists are known as being cool and liking to hang out together and play duos and just collaborate. That's why we have all these world cello congresses and cello societies and all these great organizations that bring us together.
Well, we always assumed that the cellists were the cool kids, and now you just
confirmed it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Cellos have personalities? And what personalities does yours have?
You mean the instrument itself?
Yes.
Oh, my instrument, the one I actually own, which is not here in Alaska with me, is kind of like an old soul cello, which I love. It's a 1790 English instrument. And yeah, I remember one of my teachers, every time I would struggle with something on the instrument, he'd say, "Oh, don't worry about it. It's played it before."
Oh, my. I hadn't thought of that. So when picking out your cello, is it like the dating pool?
Yes. Yes. And this was love at first sight. I literally played one note on it and said, I have to buy this instrument. In some ways, you have this sound inside you that you're looking for. And then you find the instrument that matches that sound.
How interesting. So when did the cello first speak to you? Was it as a child, a teenager?
Oh yeah, I started when I was 7. And kind of a funny story, I wanted to be an actress and my parents thought that was mortifying. And so they directed me in to music and I picked the cello.
And were you also in Ohio at that time?
No, I grew up in Chicago in the suburbs.
Okay, so you had a lot of cultural influence
coming absolutely.
Out of Chicago.
Yes.
So maybe you weren't going to be Mary Tyler Moore in Chicago, but so your parents are taking you to the symphony and your first cello, the personality, you two must have clicked.
Yeah, actually, I remember that cello because it was indestructible. I think I dropped it down the stairs once and nothing happened. So.
That is probably the perfect cello
perfect.
For a student.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then, okay, so love at first sight.
Pretty much. It spoke to me and I was quick at learning and I enjoyed it and it just kind of defined who I was.
There weren't any other instruments sort of looming, like trying to tempt you?
Not at all. Never. Mm-mm.
Okay.
Cello all the way.
So you had this steely focus go through high school. When you go to college, do you study performance or composing?
I studied performance, yeah. I actually went to a high school, a boarding high school for the performing arts in Interlochen, Michigan, which I begged my parents to send me to because I wanted to be as immersed in it as I possibly could. It's also where, as I described, my people were, the people I liked to spend time with and kind of be a cello geek with.
And your parents were behind you 100%.
100%, yeah. They were awesome.
Is that unusual?
I don't think so necessarily. I mean, I'm a mom, and for me, with my daughters, anything they're passionate about is what I really want to support them in. So I think they were the same way. They just saw the passion, and they paved the way for me to have all the opportunities I needed.
And then when did you... you thought you were going to be just a straight performer, but then when did the professor... little tease come in?
I was really gunning for a orchestral career because I grew up watching the Chicago Symphony, and that looked like my dream job. And that's sort of where I was headed. And a wonderful musician discovered me in Cleveland while we met. And she said, you really should be a teacher. You really have the spirit for it, which I didn't even recognize in myself. And then she invited me to teach at her school in Iowa City. And I was 21, and I thought, well, this will be fun for a while. And I fell in love with it, and it really kind of shifted my path because I realized that that's where I could be really effective and helpful.
And it must be a little bit of a challenge to find balance performing and teaching.
Definitely, especially with the kids I'm working with, because they're some of the... really up-and-coming cellists of the next generation, and it requires a lot more than just an hour lesson a week. There's a lot of mentoring and a lot of planning, and just a lot. It's very consuming, but I'm starting to return more to performing as my own daughters are older.
Oh, great. And we're glad that you're performing here in Sitka. Your first event is at noon today?
It's actually going to be my fourth event.
Fourth event. I've been out of town.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm very excited. At noon today, I'm going to play the Beethoven Trio with Natasha Peremsky and Benjamin Breen.
That's great. And that's at the Box Lunch. That's B-A-C-H.
Awesome.
Lunch. And that's at Harrigan Centennial Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And you also are performing Friday night.
That's right. Yeah, Mozart G Minor Piano Quartet with Benjamin and Nava Perlman and Kirsten Doctor.
And as a performer, do you prefer being a soloist or do you like working with other musicians?
Oh, other musicians all the time, as much as possible.
And is it a different energy on stage?
It is. You can really draw from each other. And you also feel this camaraderie and support that I don't get when I'm alone.
That's terrific. And how have the audiences responded to you?
Oh, I hope well. Everybody's extremely appreciative and very friendly and welcoming. It's been a wonderful experience.
And you think you'll be back?
Oh, I hope so. I hope Zool's listening. I want to come back.
Now it's your pitch to Zool. Fantastic. Well, I'd like to thank my guest, cellist Melissa Kraut. You can see her today at noon at Harrigan Centennial Hall, also Friday night concert. And unfortunately, you're leaving us Saturday night.
I am. I'm headed to Virginia for another festival.
Oh, my goodness. Very popular. And and then when do you meet your students again?
In late October. August.
Well, you are very busy, and we're happy to have you here. Thanks for joining me, Melissa.
Thank you so much.